I want to thank everybody for joining us. Today's daf is daf Ayin Gimel. And this daf has what we've been waiting for throughout the Masechta, the 39 Malachos, the 39 primary categories of work, which is going to be the theme that will really occupy us for the rest of the Masechta. But before we get into that, we're in the middle of a discussion about Misasek. That's a general principle. And the general principle of Misasek is that if a person was trying to do something permitted, he was trying to lift up a knife that had fallen in a bush, and when putting his hand down into the bush, he pulled out a root. So he was Misasek. He was busy with something else. He wasn't trying to pull out the root. He wasn't trying to do the malacha. And he is exempt. We had an argument between Abaye and Rava. If someone was trying to cut something which is already cut, he was trying to cut branches or leaves that had already been cut off of a bush or a tree, and he ends off mistakenly cutting that which is attached to the ground. So we saw an argument between Abaye and Rava. Is that considered misasek, that he was trying to do something which wasn't a malacha, the malacha just happened? Or is that considered shogig? He was really trying to do this activity of cutting. So he did cut in the wrong way, and therefore he has to bring a karban. So one of the issues here is a brisa, where the brisa contrasts Shabbos to Avodah Zarah and other mitzvos, and it says in regards to Shabbos, there's something called shagag below miskaving. He was a shogeg without kavana. So the Gemara now says, Va'abaye, now we're on Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph at the fifth line. Va'abaye, shagag below miskaven hechidami. How's Abaye going to explain shagag below miskaven? Answer the Gemara, he'll say like this. The savur roku, the person thought that what's in front of him was some spit. Really, it was forbidden fat, but he thought it was spit, ublao, and he just had it go down his system. So in that case, in regards to eating forbidden fat, he would have to bring a karban chatas, because since fat is consumption, we're talking about eating, we're absorbing nutrition. So in fat, shekeinen, and we have the rule, he got pleasure. Since he got pleasure, it is considered an act. Masha'inkim b'Shabbos, but in a similar case, in regards to Shabbos, he would be exempt. A potter, what would that be? The neskavein lagbias hatalosh. He wanted to pick up the knife that was already detached. V'chata chasam mechuber. He ended off cutting the bush which was attached. So he was trying to do something which is entirely permitted, and he ended up doing another act which was prohibited. He wasn't trying to do that act. Then he is exempt. So here too, when he's trying to swallow spit, that's not an act of eating. Swallowing spit is not an act of eating. Spit is not even considered food. So to swallow somebody else's spit, that's not an act of eating. So he was trying to do something which wasn't an act of eating, and he ended up doing an act of eating because it wasn't spit that he swallowed, it was forbidden fat that had been melted that he swallowed. So in regards to forbidden fats, even though he's trying to do a different act and he does the wrong act, he is chayiv, shekeinena, because he had pleasure. In regards to Shabbos, though, if he was trying to do the permitted action of lifting up a knife and he ended up pulling out a branch, pulling out a root, he is pater. So again,
Rabbi.
Let's just finish till two dots. Okay. However, Mashenkim is Shabbos to pater, whereas in regards to Shabbos, such a case would be exempt. What does it mean, such a case? Neskavin lag bias hatalush. He wanted to lift the knife, which was detached, and he detached, he separated the roots that are attached to the ground. So there it's potter. Aval, however, Abaye would say, if he's really trying to do the same act, he wants to cut things that are already detached. He ends up cutting things that are attached. He wants to cut leaves that are detached. He ends up cutting leaves that are attached. He's trying to do this act. So when it's all this act, yeah, he wanted to do it in a permitted way. He ended up doing it in a prohibited way. That's not called misasek. That's defined as shogeg and chayev chatas. He has to bring a sin offering. Okay, yeah, question, Baruch.
I was going to ask you yesterday, Rabbi, maybe somebody's house is in the middle of the field, or he wants to do a shortcut going to shul. He's going to be walking on some plantations, you know, with his shoes, he smashes the plantations or, you know, squeeze them or whatever. Is that what we're talking about here? You know, about the knife and everything? Is it that he has to bring a korbanot now for that?
Beautiful. That's a beautiful question. So that it is related, but it's not exactly the same scenario. What you're describing is what the halacha and the gemara calls davar she'eno miskavin, something that you're not having any intention for. Your intention is to walk to shul. Your intention is not to step on the blueberries and crush them. That's not your intention. Your intention is to walk to shul. But the only way to walk to shul is by walking through the blueberry bush, and you're going to end up crushing blueberries or knocking the blueberries off of the bush. So here it'll depend. If it's not 100% that it'll happen, so then it's called davar she'eino miskavin, something you don't have intention for. And since you don't have intention, there's no Shabbos violation at all. But if it's 100% that it'll happen, it's psik reshe. That means the same way when you cut off the head of a chicken, certainly the chicken's going to die. So if you know that there's so many bushes, there's no way to get through these bushes without knocking off the blueberries that are on the bush, so then you're certainly going to knock off the blueberries. However, if you don't care to knock off the blueberries, so then you're also allowed to do it. Psik reshe delo nichale. If it's going to happen and it's not a benefit for you, then it's allowed. So here's an interesting halacha. If you need to wash hands, your hands are dirty for whatever reason, you don't want to go into the house with your dirty hands. So if you are at your own house, you can't take water and wash your hands over the front lawn. Because when you wash your hands over your front lawn, you're watering your lawn. And you benefit from watering your lawns, even though you're not trying to water your lawn, but you're happy that your lawn now got water. But if you go to your friend's house and the friend says, listen, I don't want you to come into the house with dirty hands. You're going to get everything dirty. Here's some water. Then you could wash your hands on the front lawn because you don't care that his lawn grows. It's your friend. It's not you. So if it's psik reshe, there's no question that when you wash your hands, water is going to fall on the lawn. But if it's psik reshe d'nichale, which you're happy about, so that's not allowed. But psik reshe d'lo nichale, you don't care for it. It impacts your friend. It doesn't impact you. That would be allowed. But that was your question. It's not exactly the same issue, which here is misasik, trying to do one thing and something else happens. You're talking about where somebody's doing one thing. He's really not thinking about other results of what he's doing, but other results are happening. Sometimes they will definitely happen. Sometimes they might happen. Even when they'll definitely happen, if it's not his personal benefit, he's allowed to keep doing it.
So he doesn't have to bring any kind of korbanot?
Correct. He's allowed to walk to shul, even though through the walking to shul, he's knocking off the blueberries. It's not a good thing to knock off the blueberries. And so he's totally exempt.
Correct. Okay. Thank you.
All right, so now we're at the two dots. Thank you. Itzmar, we learned. Again, talking about the issue of misasik. Another case. Nisgavein, Lizrok Stein. We know that there is a prohibition on Shabbos to transport an item for Amos in the public domain. That is to lift it and carry it for Amos in the public domain and put it down. Or to throw it from the beginning of for Amos in the public domain to the end of for Amos in the public domain. So, this guy from Lizok Stein, somebody was thinking he's going to throw it 2 feet, 2 Amos in the public domain. Vizarak Arba. And he ended up throwing it 4 Amos in the public domain. Rav Amar Pater. So Rav says, that's already misasik. He wanted to do something which was permitted, 2 Amos in the public domain. And it ended up being 4 Amos. So he wasn't trying to do the 4 Amos. So he's exempt from a karban. Abai Amar Chayev. Abai said, no, he wanted to throw. And he did throw. So that's called shogeg. It's like someone who wants to cut. He ended up cutting the wrong things. That is obligated in a karban. Rav Amar Pater. Rav said he's exempt. The lokum achayev. The zrika the arba. Because he wasn't intending to throw 4 Amos. He was intending to throw 2 Amos. Abai Amar Chayev, Abai said he is obligated. He's trying to throw. Yeah, he wasn't trying to throw so much, but he is trying to throw, and it did go so much, and therefore he is obligated. Says the Gemara, Kasavar Shusayachid. What happens? A third case. A guy that thinks that he's in a private domain. He thinks that there are four walls around this yard. Venimsar Shusarab. It turns out that there are no walls at all around the yard, and the yard is really a public domain. So he threw four amos, thinking that this was permitted, that there were walls here. Turns out there were no walls here, and you know there are a lot of people here, and it ends up that it was a malacha. So now, this is the third case. So now, again, Rava Amar Pater, Rava said again he's exempt, because he was trying to do something permitted and ended up being prohibited. Abai Amar Chayiv, he was trying to throw, and he ended up throwing, and therefore he has to bring a carbon. Rava Amar Pater, Rava said he's exempt. He wasn't trying to do the prohibited act of throwing. He didn't know that this is a public area. He thought it was a private area. He was trying to do a permitted act. So he's exempt. That's called Misasek. Abai Amar Chayiv. Abai says he's obligated. Because he was trying to throw. He was trying to throw in a permitted way, but he ended up throwing in a prohibited way, so he has to bring a sin offering. Says the Gemara Tzricha, we have to say all three cases. Again, there are three arguments between Abai and Rava. A person who's trying to cut the detached and cuts the attached. A person who tries to throw two amos in the public domain and throws four amos in the public domain. A person who's trying to throw in the private domain, it turns out he was throwing in the public domain. In each, they have the same argument. Abaye holds he's obligated in the karban, and Rava holds he is exempt from bringing the sacrifice. I have to tell you all three arguments. If I would have only told you the first case. That's where Rava says that he's exempt. He wasn't trying to cut something which he's not allowed to cut. He's trying to cut something which is detached. But if he's trying to throw it two amos, Vizarak Arba, and he ends up throwing it four amos, the Arba below Tarti lo Mizrakale, that, you know, when you want to throw four amos, part of that is to throw it two amos. You can't get something to travel 6 feet unless it first travels 3 feet. So 3 feet is part of the 6 feet. So then, maybe Rava admits to Abaye that he was trying to do malacha, and therefore he has to bring a carbon. And if we would have told you the case of the guy who wanted to throw it 3 feet and he ended up throwing it 6 feet, I would say Rava says he's exempt. He wasn't trying to throw it 6 feet. He was trying to throw it 3 feet. He was trying to throw it four amos. He was trying to throw two amos. But when he knows that he wants to throw it the full four amos, he wants to throw the full 6 feet. But he just thinks that this place is a private domain. It turns out that it's not a private domain. It's a public domain. He is trying to throw the full amount. Maybe he would agree to Abaye. So Tzvicha, that's what I have to tell you, all these cases. Maybe he'd agree in such a case that he is chayiv the carbon. I have to say, no, even here, Rava holds he's not chayiv in the carbon. He doesn't have to bring the sacrifice. All right, now we're going to get close to the next Mishnah. We've seen it quoted so many times. Tanan, we're going to learn in the next Mishnah. Avos malachos, the primary categories of work that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos, are arbaim chaser achas, or 40 minus 1. In other words, there are 39 primary activities that we can't do on Shabbos, to plow and to plant and to harvest and to pile up the harvest, all these activities. Vavinaba, we're going to ask on this Mishnah, Minyan Alamali, why does the Tan have to tell us that there are 39? We can count. We can just list all of them and we'll know what it is. Why say it's 39 and here they are? And Amar Rabbi Yochanan, the holy Amor Rabbi Yochanan answered, Shema son, kulam belam echad chayev al kalachas v'achas. The Tana said there are 39 primary categories to teach you that there is a fellow who violates Shabbos, and because he violated it, he has to bring 39 sin offerings. 39, he did them all. He did all of them on one Shabbos, and for that one Shabbos, he has to bring a sacrifice for each and every one. That's why it said 39. He'd have to bring 39 sacrifices. So now, that means he forgot. He forgot about each one. He forgot that plowing is prohibited, and he forgot that planting is prohibited, and he forgot that harvesting is prohibited, and he forgot that piling is prohibited. He forgot that grinding is prohibited. He forgot that kneading is prohibited. He forgot that baking is prohibited. He forgot that shearing is prohibited. He forgot everything. So now the Gemara says, if he forgot everything, what does it mean that he knew that the day was Shabbos? Remember, you only have to bring a malacha, you have to bring a sacrifice for a single act if you know the day is Shabbos, but you're forgetting about this act. But if you forgot all 39 acts, how does he know that the day is Shabbos? So now, Bishmal Abaye Damar Ki Gav Nachayev, according to Abaye, who's told us that when he's trying to do half of the malacha, and he ends up doing all of the malacha, that already is obligated in a sin offering. So then you have an explanation for the Mishnah. Mishkachas L'diyada D'Yisr Shabbos. He really knows all of these prohibitions. He knows about grinding, and he knows about baking, and he knows about carrying. The Yadala Yisr Malachos V'katza B'Shiurim, but he's making a mistake in this type of a mistake. He's trying to do half of the amount that's prohibited, which he knows is permitted, and he ends up doing the full amount. So according to Abaye, he'd have to bring 39 sacrifices. And that would be the case where a person knows that it's Shabbos, and yet he's making mistakes in each one of the Malachos. El Rava, but according to Rava Damar Potter, who says it in such cases, you're exempt, as Rava just told us. A guy who's trying to throw it two ends up throwing it four is exempt. A guy who's trying to throw it indoors, he ends up throwing it outdoors, is exempt. So then, Hechi Mishkachasla. So then, what's the pshat in the Mishnah? The Zadon Shabbos, the Shigas Malachos. He's got to know that the day is Shabbos and somehow forgetting about that these Malachos are prohibited. Now, Hanicha, several like Rav Yochanan, Damar Kiv, and Shishaga, Bekaris, Hafi, Shizu, Belahav, Mishkachasla, the Yadale, the Shabbos Balat. Now you could have given an answer, as we said earlier, that if when a person forgets that this act gets the penalty of kares, but he knows that this act is not allowed with a prohibition, that also would obligate him in bringing a sin offering. So that would be the case here. He forgot that these malachos get the penalty of kares, but he knows that they're not allowed. So he knows that it's Shabbos because he knows that these things are not allowed, but he doesn't remember that they have this punishment, and that's just to bring a sacrifice for each of these activities. Elis, have a look at Shimon Lakish. What if you're going to hold Lakish Lakish? Damru hold. Ach, Yishgog Balag Vikares. They only have to bring a sacrifice, as we've seen earlier, if you forgot both that there is the penalty of Kares and you forgot that it's prohibited in the first place. So now the other Lib is Shabbos B'mai. So how does he know that the day is Shabbos at all? Answers the Gemara, we've seen already two other times. The other Lib is Chumen. He knows that the day is Shabbos because he knows that he's not allowed to walk outside of the city 2,000 Amma. Alibad Rabbi Akiva, according to Rabbi Akiva, that the prohibition of walking outside of your spot where you begin Shabbos, 2,000 Amos on Shabbos, is a biblical law, albeit not a malacha. Okay. Now, finally, we get to what we've mentioned many times, and now we're finally ready to start the 39 malachos. Yeah, question. Baruch, you have a question?
But there is no leniency here. He has to bring the 39 korbanos, right?
Yeah.
Not one korban for all?
No, there's some scenarios where he has to give all 39. The question is, what is that scenario? But yes, for sure, there's a scenario where he has to give all 39 korbanos.
Oh, okay.
It's a lot of money.
If he does it, surely.
Yeah, you know, he made lots of mistakes. They're expensive mistakes. It's almost a year's salary, you know, in Israel today. It'd be
exactly.
It'd be like a whole year's salary for one Shabbos. It'd be really harsh, really harsh.
Is it if you do miss, you'd be five cars, right?
Correct.
So,
All right. So now we're up to the Mishnah. Avos Melachos, the primary categories of work, Arba'im Chaser Achas. It's 39 primary categories. So here are the categories. Hazorea, someone who plants, that's one category. Second category, Hachoresh, someone who plows. Can't do that on Shabbos. Third, Hakotzer, someone who harvests. So that would be to pick a fruit off of a tree or to pick grain off of a stalk. Hame'amer, someone who gathers the harvest in the field and piles it up. So it doesn't happen to us too often, Ma'amer. But I guess in theory, if somebody were to have an apple tree outside and there are apples that fall off of the tree, on Shabbos to gather them in a nice, neat pile would be the prohibition of Ma'amer. Hadash, when you have grain, so the kernel is inside chaff. You don't want to eat the chaff. The chaff is abrasive. You'd like to eat the kernel. And within the kernel, you actually only want to eat the flour that's in the kernel. So part of the process of preparing the grain to be able to grind it is to separate the kernel from the chaff. What they would do is they would take all the grain, put it on a floor, a threshing floor, and then they would put pressure on the grain. They would bring animals and have the animals step on boards that were on top of the grain, and that pressure on the grain would push out the kernels from the chaff that surrounds the kernel. This is called threshing. So that's a malach on Shabbos, to pull something out from what's containing it is a malacha. Toladah of this malacha would be to take an olive and to squeeze it to get olive oil out of it, where the oil in this case is analogous to the kernel of the grain, and the rind of the olive is analogous to the chaff that surrounds the wheat kernel. Then you have hazora. They used to take all the grain with the chaff, put it into a utensil, and they would winnow it. Winnow it means they would throw it up for the wind and have the wind separate some more of the chaff from the kernels, that the kernels would fall down. Then a borer, someone who picks out the bad stuff from the good. He picks out the chaff from the grain that he doesn't need. Hatochin, and there's the grinding of the grain into flour. Hamerakeh, the sifting the grain, sifting the flour from the impurities to get to pure flour. Halash, the kneading the flour with water, making a dough. And finally, ha'ofeh, the one who bakes. So these 11 categories are the 11 stages of preparing food. In the Mishkan, this was needed because, as we've learned, they had to have dyes. They had to dye the curtains and the carpets. And so to make a dye, you need plants. These were the samimanim, like argaman, like indigo. So they had to plow, and they had to plant, and then they had to cut, and then they had to get the seeds out, and then they had to cook. So that's one way in which this was all of these activities were needed in making the Mishkan. And a second way in which all these activities were needed in making the Mishkan, part of what made the Mishkan was to have the showbread, the lechem apanim. And so they had to do all these activities to plant and to harvest the grain and to thresh the grain and to grind it into flour, to make it into bread in order to have the lechem apanim. So these 11 are called either, they're normally called in halacha sidura de pas, the 11 stages needed to make bread. Now, besides the lechem apanim and going back to the curtains of the Mishkan, so you have to paint the curtains. So for that, you need to get to cooking. And to get to cooking, you have to go through all these other stages. But they also needed the raw material of the carpets. So that came from sheep. So now we have all the malachos of making clothing. Hagozes a satsemer, someone who cuts wool off of the sheep. That is a malacha on Shabbos. Hamalabno, somebody who then takes the wool and cleans it. They would clean the wool in the river. So for us, this is the malacha of cleaning out a garment. If something spills on your garment, some stain, you now take some soda at the Shabbos table and pour it on your suit to get the oily stain out. That would be the biblical malacha of malabain, the prohibition of laundering on Shabbos. In the Mishkan, they had to launder the raw wool. Anyone who's laundering a garment is doing the same malacha. Hamenaptso. So this is to take the wool and to comb out of the wool the sediments from the wool. Then hatsovo, to paint the wool. Hatove, to spin the wool into a thread. And then we have hamesach. Mesach, we're going to see. Oh, can you cut out the seeds at the center of a cantaloupe on Shabbos? Good, that's a nice question. Yes, you're fully allowed to do that, even though we're skipping ahead a little bit, because that's part of the malacha of borer, of separating the bad from the good. And the only way that you violate the malacha of borer is if there are three requirements. It has to be biyad, by hand. It has to be miyad, for immediate use. And it has to be psoles mitoch ochel, to take the bad out of the good. So I think with the cantaloupe, when you use a utensil, so using a utensil, using the knife on the seeds, that's not doing it by hand. That's not the biblical malacha. So I think it would be allowed to, when you open up a cantaloupe, to then take off some of the seeds with a spoon or a knife and then be able to eat the cantaloupe. But we're going to get to all of these issues later. Bezrat Hashem. Right now we're just introducing the concepts. Again, going to the different activities of making a garment. HaMesach. Mesach is that when they have a loom, so they used to weave the carpets. So to make the loom, they would have to tie the threads, we're talking about here the vertical threads. They'd have to tie the vertical threads on pegs on the top and the bottom of the loom. So that's the melacha of Mesach. Then Ha'oseh Shnei Batei Nirim, we're going to see later what it is. There are different opinions, but one idea is that it's to put the thread through the holes. In a loom, they have two panels, and to put the threads through the holes, this is now the horizontal threads, not the vertical threads. That's also needed in part of the process of setting up a loom. Then we have Ha'orek Shnei Chutin, someone who weaves two threads is a biblical malacha. Hapotzea Shnei Chutin, someone who detaches two extra threads at the end of the garment. And then Hakosher, one who ties the edges of the garment after it's woven. Hamatir, one who unties the garment. Hatofer Shtei Tfiros, someone who sews two stitches. And Hakorea Almanas Litfor Shtei Tfiros, someone who tears enough space in order to now sew two stitches. There's a key point here that the Mishnah is making, which is for it to be a prohibited malacha, it has to be constructive. Mekalkel, someone who's doing something destructive, it's not malacha. That's not the biblical malacha to have to bring a karban. So if you tear a garment, that's destructive. But if you're tearing in order to be able to re-sew, that's already considered constructive. So therefore, the tearing has to be the tearing in order to sew two stitches. Now, in the Mishkan, besides the covers that were carpets, they had covers of skin, oros tachash. So therefore, out of that, we have malachos of trapping. Hatzad Tzvi, someone who traps a deer. The deer is running free, but because of his movement, now it's restrained. Hashochto, one who slaughters the deer. Hamafshito, one who takes off the skin from the frame. Hamolcho, one who puts salt onto the skin to turn it into leather. Hama'abedes Oro, someone who works the leather. You know, he keeps working it so that it becomes a leather. Hamemachko, someone who scrapes off the parts of the leather. You know, he scrapes off the hairs that are on the leather. He scrapes off the bumps on the leather to make it smooth. Hamachatcho, someone who cuts the leather to a particular size. Hakotev Shtei Osios. Okay, so that completes the process of making the skin covers on top of the Mishkan. Now, we had walls of the Mishkan that were made of wood, the Atzei Shittim Omdim. So, therefore, we also have on those beams, they would have to write, this is beam Aleph, this is beam Beis, and that way they would know where each beam goes within the Mishkan. So to write, the same way they would write in part of putting together the Mishkan, it's also prohibited to write on Shabbos. Hakosev Shtei Osios, if somebody writes two letters that are a word, like shame, as we said before, or Hamochik, even somebody who erases Almanas Lichtov Shtei Osios in order to be able to write two letters, that's also a malacha. Now, Habonet, someone who builds a structure, like in the Mishkan, they had to build the walls. Hasoser, someone who takes down a structure in order to rebuild it, like in the Mishkan. They would take down the structure, move to another place, and set it up again. Hamachabe, someone who puts out a fire in order to make out of the fire a coal, so that the coal, which is hot, has a lot of absorbed heat, it'll keep cooking. They used to blow out fires in the Mishkan. Hamavir, and one who ignites the fire. Hamake bepatish, when a person would finish making, let's say they were making the kior, or they were making the mizrakos, the different bowls to catch the blood. So they would manufacture them in the smelting iron, and then when it was finished, they would hit it with the hammer to make sure that it's strong, right? You know, I guess fellows in the shul who are involved in manufacturing, you have to check for the quality at the end. When the pieces come off of the assembly line, you take a bunch of pieces, make sure that they're good. So this was also in the Mishkan. They'd have to hit it, and that was it. Okay, now you know it's good. So that's like the final touches. Any final touch of manufacturing a utensil is prohibited on Shabbos. That is Makah B'Patish. And the last one is Hamotzi Mirshus Lirshus, someone who carries an item out from a private domain to the public domain, or from the public domain to the private domain, or within the public domain, a total of 6 feet, namely 4 amos. Hare Elu, now these are Avos Malachos, these are the primary categories. Arbayim Chaser Achas, a total of 39 primary categories. Yeah, question.
Rabbi, you know, in the old days, I remember they had two big, huge stones rubbing on each other for grinding. And it was an animal moving the stones.
Right.
So if the animal is doing it on Shabbos, is the owner responsible for that animal doing it?
Yeah, very nice question. Again, it depends if the owner set it up to do it. If the owner put the animal up for that, then yes, the owner would be responsible.
The owner would be. No, yeah. In today's world, a lot of these things could be done by robots.
Yes.
You know, with programmed products.
Yes, yeah.
So is the owner of the robot responsible for this? If it's programmed already and doing it?
Very nice question. No. If it's programmed before, it would be permitted. As long as it doesn't make too much noise, as we saw earlier. But if it doesn't make too much noise, yeah, the robots can do stuff. That's okay. You can pre-program the robot to, you know, they have in Israel, in the army, they once showed me, they have these robots where they can send the robot into a house. The robot can climb the steps, knock on the door, and blow up the apartment if necessary. So let's say you have a robot like this. You program it to come in the morning, go up the steps, bring you your fresh coffee. I think it should be okay. It should be okay. As long as it's a quiet robot. If it makes noise, then you have the problems that we saw earlier. But if it's quiet, pre-programmed, it should be okay.
Quiet meaning what, Rabbi? Make no noise at all? Is that what quiet means?
It can't make too much noise. It can't be loud. It can't be the type of thing that people are hearing and they're thinking, oh, you're doing malacha. But if it's quiet, it's okay. All right, says the Gemara, why do we have to say 39 malachas? We already listed all of the malachas. We can count. I'm Reb Yochanan. Reb Yochanan answered, Shemasan kulam be'alamechad chayvo kolachas v'yachas. If he did all of them in a single state of forgetting, he might be chayiv a sin offering for each and every one. As a Reb Achoresh, one who plows, one who plants and one who plows. Mechti, says the Gemara, let's take a look. Michrav kravi bereisha. First, normally a person plows. It's not that they first plant and then plow. Listening choresh, it should have said one who plows. V'hadu listening zoreh, then it should have said one who plants. Answer the Gemara. Tana beretz Yisrael koi. This Tana was in the land of Israel. Desire bereisha. First they plant. V'hadu kravi, and after they plant, then they plow. Tana lived in a braisa. So I'm going to, for this Bryce, I'm going to follow the approach of the Ritva, not the approach so much of Rashi. Hazorea, somebody who plants. The Hazomer, or someone who prunes. The Hanotear, someone takes a little tree and he puts it into the ground. He plants a sapling. The Hamavrich, someone who takes a branch of one tree and he puts it down under the ground so that out of it will grow a new tree. Hamarkiv, one who grafts the branch of one tree with another tree. Kula melacha achas hein. These are all one melacha. These are all one melacha. They're all the melacha of planting. My kamashmalan. What's the chiddush? Hakamashmalan. This is the novel idea. Ha'osa melachos harbi me'ein melacha achas. If somebody does many actions, but they're really all part of one great category, this is the category of making a plant grow. He'd only have to bring a single sin offering, even though he did 5 different things. For those 5 things, he'd only bring 1 sin offering. So now the Gemara is going to explain, according to the Ritva, that when somebody does a malacha, you have, if to get him, if he's doing it on purpose, he has to have a warning. And the warning is what puts him on notice to possibly get the penalty for the purposeful violation. Now, warnings have to be precise. You have to tell the person what it is he's doing wrong. You can't just say, you're violating Shabbos. You have to say, you're violating Shabbos with the violation of the verse, Lo sa'asa kol malacha, don't do malacha. And in particular, what you're about to do is the malacha of Zoreya, or the malacha of Kotzer. You have to be very precise in the warnings. And now the next Gemara, according to the Ritva, is going to explain what type of warnings would be appropriate. So, Amrav Acha, Amrav Chia Bar Ashi, Amrav Ami, Zomer, if you see somebody pruning a tree, so he's cutting down branches to help the tree grow better on Shabbos, Chayav Mishum Notea, he could be punished if you warned him with the warning of, hey, what you're doing is Notea, planting a sapling, making a sapling grow. Hanotea, if somebody takes a little sapling and puts it into the ground. Hamavrich, a person takes a branch and he puts the branch under the ground so that it'll grow up into a tree. Hamarkiv, someone who takes a branch and he grafts it to another branch to make out of it a new tree. Chayav Mishum Zorea, if he was warned and told, don't do that because that's planting, that person would now be Chayav. Ask the Gemara, Mishum Zorea, in Mishum Notea, lo, you could only give him a warning of planting. You couldn't give him a warning of putting in the sapling. Of course, it's the sapling too. Amos, as the Gemara answer, Af Mishum Zorea, he's chayev not only for Notea, he would also be chayev if he was warned for Zorea. All right, next. Amrav Kahana, Rav Kahana said, you know, the point is that both the term Zorea, which is a term of putting in a seed from the word Zera, and the term Notea, which is meaning putting a tree into the ground, they're really all the same malacha, which is making, you know, starting the growth of a plant and enabling the growth of the plant. And so you could warn him, don't do it because it's Zorea. You could warn him, don't do it because it is Notea. Now, if you know someone won't listen to your warning, so you're not telling him he's violating Shabbos. So that, as we learned the other day, is actually a machlokes. According to the Mishnah Brura, if what the person is doing is a biblical sin, you are to issue the warning, even though he may not listen. Whereas according to the Avudraham and according to other authorities, if the person's not going to listen, there's no point in telling him, because then you made it only worse. And now he's going to do it on purpose. And maybe he'll have a worse sin. And our goal is to prevent sin. And so according to the Avudraham and many other authorities, you don't say to a person anything if you think he's not going to listen. And there's an exemption of the law of tochacha. That's what the Gemara says in Erechin, that Rebbe Elazar said, I don't think anybody can do tochacha. And the Avudraham writes that there's no bracha for tochacha because it's impossible to do tochacha, because who can rebuke somebody else? People don't listen anymore. All right, Rav Kahana. Hey,
Rabbi,
yeah.
Embarrass that person in front of his children and wife, so... Remember the word of embarrassment, you know?
So I don't think it's... No, the Chafetz Chaim argues that it's not embarrassment. When you're trying to help somebody, that's not embarrassment. It's not, he has no reason to be embarrassed. You're helping him out. So Chafetz Chaim argues that's not embarrassment. But again, others disagree with the Chafetz Chaim. Again, I don't want to go too far. Let's go back to the Gemara. I'm Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana said, Zomer v'tzarech le'etzim, somebody who is pruning. He's pruning branches off of a tree, and he has two thoughts here. Number one, he wants to prune the tree, which is to help the tree grow. Number two, he actually wants to use these pieces of wood. He'd like to use the pieces of wood because he wants the firewood. He wants the wood. So if you cut wood because you want the wood, that's the malacha of kotzer. If you cut a wood to make the tree grow, that's the malacha of notea, making a tree grow. So Rav Kahana said, Chayev Shtayim, we'll have to bring two karbanos. Achas Mishum Kotzer, one because he is harvesting. V'achas Mishum Noteya, and the other one because he's making the tree grow. I'm Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef now said, Haiman de Katal Aspasta. When you have hay growing out in the field, stubble, animal food, so they used to cut it down multiple times. They would cut it down when it grew a little bit, and it would grow a little bit again, and again cut it down. So a guy who cuts down the aspasta, chayev shtayim. So he's chayev two things, two karbanos. Achas mishim kotzer, one, he's harvesting, he's looking to take stuff. V'achas mishim noteya, and secondly, because by cutting it down, it's now going to regrow back faster. So the cutting down is a form of pruning. So it's really a form of planting, of making something grow. Amar Abaya said, a third example, Hai man the kind of silka, a person who cuts down a piece of the beet plant. Chayiv Shtayim, again, he's obligated in two sin offerings if he does it on Shabbos. Achas Mishum Kotzer, one because he's harvesting. V'achas Mishum Noteya, and one because he is making things grow. So he is encouraging propagation. That's the equivalent of putting a tree into the ground to make it grow. Hachoresh, we learned about the person who plows. Tanu learned in a brisa. Hachoresh, whether a person plows, v'achofer, somebody digs a hole in the ground, v'achoreitz, a person who makes a ditch in the ground. Kula malacha achasein, they're all the same malacha of softening the ground to enable things to grow in it. If you did all three of these things at once, you'd only have to bring one sin offering. I'm Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes gave the following example. Haisalo gavshushes, a person has a little hump of dirt in his field. Unatalan, he picks up this pile of dirt. So if it's bebayis, if it's not in the field, if it's in a house, chayev mishumbona. So that's considered building, because now he smoothed out the floor. To smooth out the floor is building. Besad, if this was in a field, chayev mishum choresh, that would be considered plowing, because he's softening the ground up. Amar Rava Rava said, haisalo guma, a guy who has a hole. Utmam, and he fills it up with dirt on Shabbos. Bebayis, if it's indoors, chayev mishum bona. He's building because he's making now a smooth floor. Besad, if it's out in his field, he is chayev mishum choresh. He's chayev because of plowing. Amar Rabba Rabba said, hachofer guma b'Shabbos. A person who digs a hole in the ground on Shabbos. Ve'no tzarech el alafara, and all he needs is the dirt. Pater aleha. He is exempt for digging that hole. Because afilu Rabbi Yehuda dam malacha shein tzricha legufa chayev aleha. Even Rabbi Yehuda says, when you do a malacha, not for the reason that the Mishkan did it, you're still chayev. Hani mili, that's only true where you're misaking, where you're doing something which is constructive. Hi, but if you dig a hole in the ground and you're trying to get the dirt out, Makalkalhu, you're ruining your floor. Since you're ruining your floor, you are pater from bringing a carbon. Mishnah then said, Hakotzer, somebody who harvests. It's one of the 39 malachos. Tanu went in a braisa, Hakotzer. Now, there, in Hebrew, there are multiple words for the same activity depending on what the activity is done to. So, Hakotzer is one who harvests grain. Habotzer is one who harvests grapes. Hagoder is somebody who harvests dates. Hamosek is someone who harvests olives. Haore is someone who harvests figs. Kula malacha achas, they're all one malacha. What's the malacha? Detaching something from where it's growing. So if you did all of these things together, you had a date field and a fig field and an olive field and a wheat field, and you went into each of these fields on Shabbos and you picked stuff, you'd only bring one carbon. Amra Papa, Rav Papa said, I'm on the shada piece of dikla, guy who takes a clump of dirt and he throws it at his date tree. But after tamrin, he knocks off dates. Chayiv shtayim, he's now going to be chayiv two karbanos. Achas mishum tolesh, one because he is detaching. Achas mishum mefarik, and the other because he is separating. So in other words, when he throws the date, when he throws the dirt at the date tree, he's going to cause the date to fall off. So that's kotzer. But in addition to kotzer, he's also, by throwing this thing at the tree, he's going to cause the dates to disconnect. The inside of the date is going to come out of the outside of the date. It's going to come out of its shell. And that's already considered mefarik. However, Ravashi Amar, Ein Derech Klisha Bakach, that's not the normal way of harvesting. Ein derech prika bekach. This is not the normal way of separating the inside from the outside of a fruit. And therefore, when you do a malach in an abnormal way, it is entirely permitted. I saw a funny case. Yitzhak Zilberstein said, you know, kids, sometimes when they're learning science, the teacher says to them, go home, take an avocado seed, an avocado pit, put in the water, and you'll see that it's going to grow. So if a kid did that on Shabbos, or an adult does that on Shabbos, would that be the malacha of Zoreah, of making things grow? So you might say, no, it's not making things grow, because you're putting it in water, you're not putting it in the dirt, you're putting it in a flower pot or a cup, you're not putting it in the ground. But the truth is, this is the way it grows. The way to make the avocado grow is by putting it in the water in the cup. So based on this Gemara's principle, that every malacha is defined as what is the normal way of doing this thing, maybe it would be the malacha of Zoreah. Okay, next, Hama'amer, somebody who piles up the produce in the field. Amar Rava, Rava said, Haiman dochanef milchami milchasa. If somebody piles up and he gathers together the salt in the salt quarry, Chayiv Mishum Ma'amer. That also would be guilty for Ma'amer. Abaya said, no, ain't Imur Ela Bigidule Karka. Imur is like what was done in the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, they were, you know, piling together, gathering together the Samimanim, the indigo. They weren't doing it for raw materials, for raw minerals, that is. And therefore, on Shabbos, to gather the salt was not the malacha of Ma'amer. Hadash, somebody who separates the grain from its chaff. Tanu elintin abraisa, hadash, somebody who separates the grain from the chaff. Hamenapets, somebody who removes, that he combs out the wool to get the impurities out. Hamenapet, so somebody who pulls out the seeds from the flax plant. Kula malacha achas, they're all really the same basic malacha, which is to separate the good stuff, the wool, the flax fibers, the seed from the chaff. And if you did all three of them at once, you would only have to bring, therefore, one carbon. Okay. So Bezrat Hashem, we're going to continue with Zorer and Borer, which were the questions that Fred raised. Bezrat Hashem, we're going to learn about that tomorrow. Everyone should have a wonderful day. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thanks, Rabbi. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for joining us.